Hey Abs, so is this a self-help program of some kind?
Not at all, Becca. It is just Dr. Danzy having some intrapersonal reflections on biblical psychology.
Ah, so if you have some mental health concerns,
or if you feel hopeless, helpless, and carry some guilt and shame,
it is highly advisable for you to contact a mental health helpline in your country of residence.
Or better still, go to see your primary health care provider, like a GP, and share with them how you feel.
But if you feel so distressed before, during, or after this program, call your local emergency line.
Do you know how to call your emergency service, like an ambulance in your local country, city, or town?
For example, in Australia, this is 000, and in America is 911.
And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Next station, Adventist Reflections.
Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Danzy.
Hi, family. There was a meme that I saw recently that had a person holding a shovel on the one hand, and with the other, she was wiping the sweat from her brow. And it said, "Sometimes late at night, I dig a hole in the background to keep the nosy, gossipy neighbors guessing." Today, we will talk about millennial psychology and the Bible. I'll talk it all. Here we go! Okay, so we have been doing some commentaries. If you have been following us for the past 3 months, we've been doing commentaries on the Sabbath School. But this is really one of the things that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And there is a reason for that. There is a misconception, usually, about what psychology is all about. At least in my opinion, anyhow. And so we could argue that this is our first truly millennial podcast. Not sure what this means. You see, our previous podcasts were commentaries, and I kind of like just read them aloud. And I enjoy doing them for sure. But this is going to be really me rambling a little bit and talking about some ideas that I have about biblical psychology, or that's how I prefer to refer to it. Yes, for those who are, you are wondering, if you are ever asking who I am, maybe I'll tell you later, but I am still a millennial, at least by some kind of definition. My friend from a very well-known Adventist podcast tells me that maybe I'm not. Maybe I am kind of like in the end of the spectrum. And I'm not really into the millennial vibe, but I think I have some millennial in me. Perhaps I might not look like one because of my rapid growth. I don't know. Who knows? I do have, I don't know. Anyhow, one thing is for sure, I'm thankful because I'm truly blessed throughout my journey. One day I'll share my Christian journey and perhaps even my professional journey, but not today. I do want to clarify that before I became a psychologist, I was and continue to be first and foremost a Christian. Also, yes, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, but I want to clarify that this podcast is for all Christians interested in biblical psychology. This is an important point because to me, it reminds me that whilst as a Seventh-day Adventist, we do have a special message, no religious denomination was or has a copyright on the truth for the truth as found in the Bible. I believe that we have an element of truth in the scripture that has heavenly copyright, that no human can claim as their own message as such. And so this really is about Christianity. This podcast is about biblical psychology, and that's what I want to keep it as, at least this part of the podcast. I call this the section of biblical psychology. We're going to be having these episodes once a month. I think in one of my promos, I might have said that it was going to be once a week. But my busy schedule doesn't allow me for that. If you do find this useful, interesting, perhaps even annoying, I don't know, but you just want to be annoyed every week, let me know. And I might start considering making this more often. But for now, these reflections will be really on biblical aspects that on one level or another touch on psychology as a science. So today, I would like to talk about an introduction to psychology and Christianity. It was so interesting to see that it's found at the source of millennial wisdom, that is Google, in relation to the Bible, that if you were to go and just do a very simple Google search on Bible verses and psychology, literally every single page I found referring to this keyword sent me to a verse denoting some negative perception, some negative connotation on the subject, one after the other. I just got bored to read them all, to be honest. Perhaps somewhere in the oblivion of net searching after page 144,000, pun intended, you'll find somebody speaking some good about psychology. Who knows? I couldn't bother. I didn't go that far, and I don't think it was necessary. It was clear to me that from my Google search, there was a superficial, you could say a superficial effort, as superficial as my search that has been put into investigating the subject matter a little bit deeper. As soon as you do this search, you'll find pretty much in all of the verses that I found, how they refer to, in one way, directly or indirectly, to psychology as quite foolish. You know, they tell you verses about the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and how we must not be conformed to this world, and how trust not in your own understanding, or how all the scripture is given by the inspiration of God, etc., etc., etc. To be honest, to me, all of these were taken out of context, nothing to do necessarily with psychology. All of these verses, I believe, are truth statements. I mean, after all, we found these in God's Word. I'm not here to argue that of the premise of the validity or reliability of the Bible. One, because I won't claim to be a theologian. And two, because it will be oxymoronic of me to be running a program on biblical psychology and at the same time slander the scripture. Yes, friends, I am one of those millennials who do believe in sola scriptura when it comes to theological matters. The problem I found with those who publish these websites, some, by the way, very prominent websites in Christianity, and the problem is that as soon as we hear that nosy, intrusive, gossiping neighbor speaking badly about psychology, we can apply them with a blanket statement as if everything in psychology is of the devil. And you know what? I don't fully blame them. I mean, as a committed Christian, I do see some things that might not resonate with the Bible. Most committed Christians will argue that psychology is wicked and of the devil. And I mean, some of the most important and maybe most prominent psychologists throughout the history of the science, as a science, have been messed up in the sense of having very little hope and very little ideology for universal, eternal transcendence. Take, for example, Freud, somewhat messed up believing that we made up God in our minds because we needed him as a father figure. Maybe he needed God to be a father figure, or maybe he needed a father figure, who knows? I mean, he was messed up in a lot of ways anyways. Or Albert Ellis, who advocated the idea of religious spirituality as an irrational idea, or even Skinner, and we can go on and on and on. But let me tell you something. If you live in a neighborhood of 100 people, and these people start believing that you were cheating on your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your spouse, and they swear that they saw you were with someone else, I guess a lot of people will start to believe it. But what will happen if out of those 100 neighbors, only 3 of them started to say that you're actually cheating on your partner, on your spouse, on your boyfriend or girlfriend? And these are the ones that seem to be not only the nosiest, the more gossipy, the one that are the most loud, like kind of that squeaky wheel. Perhaps we could say that a lot of people will believe it, but there are still about 97 others who do not actually believe that. In fact, perhaps 77 out of those neighbors believe that you are a very faithful and loyal companion. Or think of this. You go to church in your own town or your city, and you know other churches also, all Christians, and you hear that the most popular local pastor kills somebody with premeditation. In fact, this was the pastor of the local megachurch. Everybody loves this guy in one way or another. What do you reckon? Would we then say that all pastors are killers? Moreover, does this imply that we should not be Christians because, in fact, Christianity is about hating others? If we allow people like some of these quote-unquote forefathers of psychology to propose that rationality of Christianity and Bible doesn't make sense, well, of course we're going to be misled. And of course, I don't believe that. I'm thankful because some of these people were wrong, and because of that, we could assess the things that were right to make it a little bit more interesting. Today, and throughout this podcast, I would not like to go through what is wrong, but rather for what is right, at least in my opinion. So I like to propose that we must not just listen and focus on what the quote says or what the biggest and greatest say. Another aspect that I would like to talk about today is I would like you to relate the idea of psychology as something that is not fixated. Some people believe that psychology is fixated on wicked philosophical knowledge with some kind of primary purpose to obscure the Christian way. Here we must look at the conscious mind. Here we must look at the idea that psychology is trying to mess up the unconscious mind. And look, for many, perhaps that idea resonates a lot because they have seen a lot of that obscurity in the subject matter. But I would like to tell you something. There is no such a thing as a fixated theory or an obscure idea targeting Christianity or the Bible as such. That is, psychology is a science, and as a science, it's ever-changing. So as we discover better knowledge based on outcomes from greater predictable evidence, it is here where the Bible can help many Christian psychologists to expand their practice views and, who knows, uncover more biblical principles that do not change by means of empirical evidence. A colleague psychologist, Professor Da Silva from the Christian Reformed Church, wrote an article some years back and shared some light on this. And he said, psychological theories are not fixed. The goal of psychological studies is not necessarily to discover absolute truth, but rather to create theories that help us organize our limited knowledge and understand what we observe. For this reason, psychological theories change constantly. Psychologists modify or abandon older conclusions in favor of better explanations. So, what this means is the Bible doesn't change, but psychology does. There might be some contradiction views towards Christianity in psychology. By some psychologists and their theories, there might be many things that the Bible kind of doesn't make sense. And, you know, that's maybe where faith comes to play a role. But for the Christian and for the Christian psychologist, the Bible really is or should be an absolute truth. If we truly believe that God gave these as an inspired means to help us live the best we can. So the Bible doesn't change because it's God's inspired word. However, in order for us to understand the concept found in psychology as a science, we hypothesize possibilities. We propose an array of options on the current knowledge, and this knowledge then can be transferred to practice. The practice of serving others, the practice of being empty vessels that we might contribute relief to the human suffering. The practice of helping may be obtained and utilized by evidence-based tools that we then can bring back to give hope and purpose. And that can be found really in the Bible. You see, biblical psychology may provide... No, let me rewind that. Let me reword that. I truly believe this. Biblical psychology can provide principles whereby many such tools are based, many such psychological tools are based, which ironically and unbeknown to even atheist psychologists were established by divine inspiration way before we tested our theories, way before we even established the profession. Paul once said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to test everything and to retain what is good. Why cannot we do that with psych? Why cannot we do that with this profession? Why cannot we do that with these signs? I would love to hear your comments about this. Is there anything that you think isn't good in specific about psychology? Is there anything that you consider good about these signs? Send me a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And you can find me on all of them as Adventist Reflections. Next month, we will unpack the idea of psychology in the Bible. This is Dr. Danzy, and you listen to our Adventist Reflections program on biblical psychology. Until next week, I'll keep on loving God. What about you?
Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.